So here we have the dedicated Manitobans or cadmium people, one or the other, I guess, eh? Okay, today I'd like to talk to you about some long-term work we've been doing, looking at the impact of long-term application of cadmium in phosphate fertilizers on the extractable cadmium in the soil as affected by soil characteristics. I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, Shopping Gao, Don Flayton, Mary Tenuta, Wale Akinremi, and Siktiv Mali, who've all helped with this study. Now, we know that cadmium is a trace element that's naturally present in soils, but it can also be added to soils in fertilizers, soil amendments, and through industrial contamination. The concern we have is that food crops can accumulate cadmium from the soil, and there is some concern of health risks from long-term consumption of cadmium in foods. And so because of this, Codex Alimentarius has a proposed limit of 200 parts per billion in grains traded internationally. And in fact, some countries are discussing lowering those limits for some of the crops that we grow. So we'd like to reduce the amount of cadmium that we put into the soil, and we'd like to reduce the amount of cadmium that ends up in the food we eat. Now, there's a lot of different things that will affect the availability of cadmium and the cadmium concentration of crops. One of the very important ones is crop genetics, with different crop cultivars and different crop species accumulating different amounts of cadmium in the edible portion of the crop. But things like weather conditions, tillage and agronomic management, and even crop rotation can influence cadmium concentration of crops as well. But today I'm going to talk to you primarily about fertilizer management, soil characteristics, and the soil concentration of cadmium. Now, we're particularly interested in phosphate fertilizers because phosphate fertilizers do contain cadmium at varying levels depending on the origin of the rock from which the phosphorus fertilizer was manufactured. Usually sedimentary rocks tend to have higher levels of cadmium than igneous rocks, and so some of the phosphorus fertilizers derived from sedimentary deposits can range from quite low levels in the Florida deposits, 3 to 20 parts per million of cadmium, up to very high levels in some of the fertilizers that were derived from Idaho rocks, and these can range over 150 parts per million. The igneous rocks, such as those from Finland, Russia, or from the Canadian Shield, tend to be relatively low and often contain only trace amounts of cadmium in the fertilizers. Now, cadmium in the phosphate can accumulate in the soils from long-term application, with the accumulation, of course, being the difference between the addition minus the losses. Now, the amount that you add to the system will be affected by the cadmium concentration of the fertilizer, by the rate of phosphate that you're adding, and by the frequency of application. Well, losses of cadmium are primarily by crop offtake. However, it's not just the total amount that's in the soil that's important. It's also the availability of that cadmium that's in the soil. So the availability for crop uptake or the phytoavailability can be affected by soil characteristics and by management practices. So the objectives that we had for this study were to determine the effect of long-term addition of cadmium in commercial phosphorus fertilizers on the accumulation of cadmium in the soil, and also the availability of cadmium that was added in those fertilizers for crop uptake. And so we wanted to look at the impact of soil characteristics both on the accumulation and on the phytoavailability so that we could estimate the risk of long-term fertilization on cadmium accumulation in crops and soils. To do this, we did field studies at seven different sites across the Canadian prairies, and we initiated the studies in 2002 and are still continuing them today. These sites ranged across about a 1,200-kilometer transect right across the agricultural section of the Canadian prairies and covered a range of soils. The initial soil characteristics of these research sites varied quite substantially, with pH ranging from a low of 5.2 to over 7.7, DTPA extractable cadmium ranging from a low of about 80 to a high of over 340. The cation exchange capacity of the soils ranged from about 16 up to over 40. Organic carbon content ranged from about 28 to over 55. And we also had varying soil texture from quite sandy soils up to relatively clayey soils. Now, at each one of these sites, we initiated a study where we applied 0, 20, 40, and 80 kilograms of phosphorus, or twice as much of P2O5. And we applied that as monoammonium phosphate each year. Now, putting this into perspective, 20 is a common rate of application on the prairies, 20 kilograms of P or 40 kilograms of P2O5. We used three different sources of monoammonium phosphate that contained about 0.4 ppm, 80, and 210 milligrams of cadmium per kilogram. And these are representative of fertilizers that were derived from Russian or the Canadian Shield, from North Carolina, and from Idaho mines, respectively. At each site, we had a randomized complete lot design with four replicates. We seeded the crops every year following a durum wheat flax cropping system. We selected those crops because they're commonly grown crops in the prairies. And both of them do tend to accumulate relatively high levels of cadmium. Now, I'm only going to talk about the information from durum wheat and from the durum wheat years today. Now, at each site, we seeded and harvested the crops using normal plot equipment that simulates real field stuff. We sampled every year. We used a DTP extraction for soil cadmium and measured for cadmium on an atomic absorption spectrophotometer graphite furnace. We used certified and or in-house reference standards and duplicate samples for our QA/QC. Now, I'm talking primarily about the soil samples that were collected in the fall of 2008 after 7 years of fertilizer application and 7 years of cropping. We collected these samples at two locations in each rep of the control and the highest rate of each of the three fertilizer sources. And then we divided them into the 0 to 7.5 and 7.5 to 15 centimeter depth. We've analyzed the soils for pH, cadmium, phosphorus, and a range of other elements. But again, today I'm only going to talk about the DTP extractable cadmium in the 0 to 7.5 centimeter depth. Now, when we looked at this DTP extractable cadmium in 2008, we found quite substantial differences from soil to soil in terms of the soil's response to the input of cadmium over time. Now, when we looked at, for example, if you look at the spruce soil or the Phillips soil, it started out at a moderate amount of cadmium in the control and approximately doubled with the long-term input of high rates of cadmium in the high cadmium, high phosphorus fertilizer. On the other hand, if you looked at the Ellerslie, which is the third from my left, sorry, I have this left and right thing going. The Ellerslie started at relatively low amounts of cadmium in the control, but there was about a five-fold increase in DTPA extractable with the long-term input of cadmium in the fertilizer. So there was a substantial difference from location to location in the soil response to the cadmium that was added. Now, when we did some sort of simple correlations with some of the initial soil characteristics that we measured in 2002, there were a few themes that sort of came out. When we looked at the DTPA cadmium in the control, so in 2008, the plot that did not receive any fertilizer at all, it was very well correlated with the initial DTPA cadmium in 2002. So the DTPA cadmium in the unfertilized soil was fairly persistent, consistent from over those 7 years. And it was negatively related with the soil pH, with the clay, and with the cation exchange capacity, and quite strongly positively correlated with the organic matter content that was measured again in 2002. Now, when we looked at the DTPA extractable cadmium in all the treatments, so in the fertilized treatments, in 2008, again, we found it was somewhat correlated with the initial DTPA cadmium content, but the R-square value was only about 0.5. But again, it was also negatively related to the pH, the clay, and the cation exchange capacity, positively related to the organic matter content, and fairly well correlated with the cadmium that was added in the fertilizer over time, with an R-square value of about 0.63. Now, looking at the difference between the two, so the cadmium in the fertilized treatment minus the cadmium in the control, it was primarily negatively related to the pH and fairly well correlated with the cadmium added in the fertilizer, R-square value of about 0.73. Now, looking at the grain cadmium content, though, it was quite interesting to me to see it was the grain cadmium concentration was much more closely related to the initial soil characteristics than was the soil cadmium. So we found that our grain cadmium was negatively related to pH and was correlated fairly well, about a negative 0.7 correlation with the clay content that was measured in 2002. And it really wasn't nearly as responsive to the cadmium added in the fertilizer as was the DTPA extractable cadmium. So this, the grain cadmium was less related to the cadmium addition than the soil cadmium was. Now, doing just some cowboy regressions here, this is a fairly initial multiple regression analysis. We could explain about 80% or so of the variability by a regression equation. This is in the DTP extractable cadmium after 7 years of fertilization, by a regression equation that did include pH, initial DTPA cadmium, organic matter content, clay, as well as the cadmium that was added over time. And the increase in DTPA cadmium above the control was also affected primarily by the amount of cadmium added, as well as by the soil pH and cation exchange capacity, with the other soil factors not being nearly as important in the change as it was sort of in the total amount. And I guess that makes sense, because the change is more a function of the fertilization management. But the R-square here was only about 0.61 or 0.6. It wasn't nearly as strong. The grain measured in 2008 was related to the 2008 soil levels of DTP extractable cadmium, but again, the R-square was fairly poor, only about 0.4. So there was a strong influence of environmental characteristics and soil characteristics that moderated the grain effect. But the grain cadmium was relatively well described by a formula that included both the initial soil characteristics and the fertilizer input, explaining about 76% of the variation. But when we looked over years, we could explain things well in a single year. But when we looked over all of the years of the study where we grew durum, the regression or the relationship was much more poorer, indicating a very strong influence of year-to-year variability in weather conditions on the accumulation of cadmium in the grain. So including the multiple regression factors, we could really only explain about 0.35% of the variability. So our conclusions: long-term input of cadmium and phosphorus fertilizers can increase both extractable cadmium and cadmium concentration of durum wheat. Soil characteristics do have a strong effect on both cadmium accumulation in the soil and in the plant. The increase in DTP extractable cadmium was related to the increase in crop cadmium, but varied considerably with soil characteristics and weather characteristics. And so we definitely have to take into account the soil characteristics when we're assessing risk. How do we reduce cadmium in soils and crops? Well, reduce our phosphate input by better fertilizer management. Reduce cadmium concentration in fertilizers, but that's not really as easy as it sounds because of the low supply of low cadmium rock and the high cost of removal. We can target our low cadmium fertilizers to high phosphorus use crops, for example, potatoes. And I think it's very important that we consider the effect of soil characteristics when we're assessing risk, and possibly target our low cadmium fertilizer to more sensitive soils where the effect of cadmium is going to be higher. And thank you to the funding agents, Dick Praveen, who coordinated the Alberta sites, and to all of the technical staff at AFC and University of Manitoba. Yes, Mario? Well, I think the question is how much control do we have over targeting our cadmium? And I think that's something that if that became an issue, even more of an issue than it is now, I think that can be something that's controlled in the marketplace. There can be different price points put in for low-cadmium fertilizer versus high-cadmium fertilizer. A lot of the high-consumption crops are, of course, the higher-value crops, potatoes, vegetables, and some of those do accumulate cadmium at fairly high levels. And I personally think that there's a little bit of... I think it's very sad that where the higher amounts or the higher restrictions on cadmium content and phosphate fertilizer being placed are in the more affluent countries, where probably the problem is much much smaller than in some of the rice-producing countries. And I think there's almost a little immorality going on here, because the higher value low cadmium fertilizers may be flowing to countries where the risk of cadmium moving into the food chain is very, very low, and I think maybe that's something that should be considered on a global basis as opposed to on a farm-to-farm basis.